World Mission Sunday, church anniversary, talking about purpose of the church. There's a whole lot crammed into the day. But I want to take just a few minutes to preach my 7-point sermon. So we think about the witness of the church, the proclamation of the name of Jesus Christ. I'm drawn to Acts chapter 4. Listen to what Luke wrote here. Quoting Peter, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We're in the middle of a sermon series on the early church. We've been walking through the first chapters of the book of Acts. We started about talking about the mission of the church, how that we are to be His witnesses. We moved on and we studied about the empowering of the Holy Spirit and how that we are able to be His witnesses because the Holy Spirit empowers us. We talked about what it means to function as a church and how that all of this around us and the pictures that we saw, those forms of buildings and ministries and personnel, how they must always follow the function of the church. Brother Dan shared with us from this chapter in Acts 3 and 4 about the boldness of the church. And last week we talked about the love. This week we're going to focus in on the witness of the church. You see, not long after these words were spoken by Peter in Acts 4:12, where he said, "There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Not long after that, the council of elders commanded them to speak no more of this heresy. They threatened them with bodily harm, and then they sent them on their way. But what did we find out from Brother Dan? What happened next? The apostles gathered together, and then they prayed for boldness. Notice what verse 29 says in that chapter. "And now, Lord," the apostles are praying, "and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And when they had prayed, notice what happened. The place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, a lot of things were said about the people that were on the screen a few minutes ago, and I want to thank Brother Ron again for all the time he put into that. I knew it would be a blessing, and it was. And thank you, Brother Ron. I actually knew Brother Clyde Leslie just a little bit. I know a lot of his family. Brother Ron mentioned Brother A.R. Redden, Joanna's grandfather, preaching at one of those services. Brother Clyde Leslie was her great uncle. Can I claim the Leslies? If I want to, right? When her family found out that we were coming here, they rejoiced. They just thought that was the greatest thing. Brother Clyde was a bold man. A man who spoke with great boldness. He was a church planter extraordinary. He planted half dozen or more of the churches here in the BMA and the SMS. God used him in a special way. God used these apostles and these followers of Christ in the early church in a special way also. Even though threatened, with bodily harm. They continued preaching. They continued teaching. They continued allowing God to perform miracles through them. Miracles of healing. And their numbers continued to grow day after day. And the religious leaders had it up to here. They had had enough. They arrested the apostles and they put them in prison for their beliefs and for their teachings. And that's where we find ourselves in the middle of chapter 5, starting in verse 17. We're looking at the witness of the church, how they proclaim the name of Jesus. Acts 5, verse 17 and 18. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read with me. Because I knew I would have no time to preach, I decided I'm just going to read the text as we go along this morning. Starting in verse 17, it says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." They were angry. "And laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." You see, we find here that doing God's will often brings up obstacles in our life. Doing God's will often will bring up obstacles. If your goal is to preach and to teach among the people, being put in prison is a bit of an obstacle. Amen? Maybe. You know, I just think that probably if they had stayed there very long, they would have just seen it as a change of mission. That's what Paul did. When he was put in prison, he just said, "Oh, well, I couldn't have reached these people if I was out of prison, so praise the Lord, I'm in prison." Doing God's will often brings up obstacles in our life, and often it makes us question, what are we going to do? So what did they do? Let's move on and see what we find in verse 19 and then 22 to 23. The Bible goes on and says, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go and stand and speak in the temple to the people and all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought." They wanted to get them out of prison and talk to them again. "But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told them, saying, 'The prison truly found be shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Everything was all right, but there was nobody at home.'" Verse 24, "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow." When you're facing life's obstacles, you know what? All the time, we must trust in God's provision when we're facing those obstacles. They didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't know how God was going to take care of them, but they were trusting in Him, and God decided to deliver them not only from the hands of those people, but from the prison itself. They didn't even know they were gone. How did God do that? I don't know, but I trust that He did, and I trust that He can do the same for us. Amen? We've got to trust in God's provision when we're facing these difficulties that we face in life. You see, God set them free. Set them free to go and do what He had called them to do. Now, I can just imagine what they must have been thinking and feeling that moment. Can you imagine as they were going out and they were about to step out? I mean, they were fugitives on the run. They'd broken out of prison. Can you imagine what the prayer of their heart might have been. I can just imagine that it would be something similar to this psalm. And they would be saying, Lord, as morning dawns and evening fades, you inspired the songs of praise that rise from earth and touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name. I'm going to ask my family to come. And we're going to sing this song at this time.
To touch.
name of Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. They went out that day to be a witness for Christ. They were determined to obey no matter what. We find in verse 20, we read earlier, the angel told them, go, stand, speak in the temple. Obey that which God has already told you to do. Read with me in verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. You see, these men did exactly what they were told to do. They continued to obey. We must continue obeying God in the face of consequences. Consequence does not matter. We must continue to obey. They were taken back to face the Sanhedrin. Look at verse 27. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They devised a plan to have the men killed. Folks, we must be confident in our call. These men were standing before the rulers of the religious sect of that day, the Sanhedrin, the council of elders, and they stood there and they said, you killed the man who came to forgive us of our sins. They were bold. They said, we are his witnesses. We must be confident in our calling. Go on and see what the scripture says in verse 34. It continues the story. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, he sent them out so he could talk with everyone else around. And Gamaliel said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed, listen up. Listen to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Remember, they were plotting to kill these apostles. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. You see what Gamaliel's doing here? He's recounting a little bit of history. He's saying, listen guys, there have been other people who came up and claimed to be something, and it just dissipated. And so he gives this word of warning in verse 38. So then now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Gamaliel was a very wise man. And what he told us that day is we must be wise to discern the work of God. He said, I don't know if this is the work of God, but I sure don't want to be against God. Folks, as we are witnesses of the church, we too need to be wise and not be at work against the work of God. Brother Ron this morning gave us a very clear picture of the differences between 1955 and 2015. Very clear. And the fact of the matter is that what happened in 1955 was exactly what needed to happen. But we're a very different place today. We want to pray for the Word of God to take place here. We must be wise to discern what is that word. In verses 40 and 41, notice what the apostles had to say. Or what they did, I should say. And to him they agreed. Sanhedrin agreed with Gamaliel, we shouldn't kill him. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they didn't kill them, they just beat them. When they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Watch what happened next. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They rejoiced when they were able to suffer for him. Wow, that's a different picture than what we have most of the time today, isn't it? Are we rejoicing when we suffer for the cause of Christ? That's what we ought to do. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! That's what Jesus taught his apostles. And that's exactly what they did. When they were the bold witness that they needed to be, and they suffered, they were beaten for being that witness, they rejoiced. But notice verse 42. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. Did the beating, did the threatening slow them down? No. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued. Why? Because they had a heart for the world. Doing God's will in God's way reaps God's reward. You remember us studying about that with David? Doing God's will in God's way will get his reward. But folks, remember, our reward doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen here. On this earth, in this life, we've got something so much greater to look forward to. Therefore, we must proclaim the name of Jesus. Oh man, I signed up and stuff. That's sad. When we switch computers, sometimes the fonts get switched around. The effect isn't there, but I hope you see the point. It is the name of Jesus that we are to proclaim. We are His witnesses. No matter what our circumstances may be, no matter the cost, we must proclaim the name of Jesus with confidence and trust, trusting God to take care of these things. And when those difficulties arise, that's when we must praise God that we, as the apostles, have also been counted worthy to suffer for His name. The precious name of Jesus, the name by which we are saved. Now He calls us to be a witness of Him as a church. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for this story about the boldness, the audacity of Your apostles. And Lord, may we be that same kind of person. May we never fail You, Lord. Lord, may we never cause shame to be brought to Your name here in this place. May our church be Your witness on the corner of Dixieland and New Hope to the community of Rogers and all Northwest Arkansas. Lord, may we witness for You. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.